Today's daf is Menachis Daf Mem Beis, and we are 15 lines from the bottom of Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis, moving along in sugyas dealing with tzitzis. Another festa daf. From a rate perspective, it's one daf that's really five, but Bezrat Hashem, hopefully we'll go through the daf and then at the end speak a little bit about tchelas. Zokta Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, kama chutin hu noisein, how many strings are tzitzis made up of? So if you look at your tzitzis, you know that your tzitzis on each corner have four chutin that go through the hole, which when they hang down are eight. But this b'raisa tells us the rest of the story. Bishamay, Yomir Bishamay says dalet, that there's four strings of tzitzis which later become eight. Ubeisul, Yomir Beisul says gimel. It's three that later become six. Interesting. How long do the tzitzis have to be? And the way Rashi explains, after you make the psilim, after you make the knots, beneath that, how long do the tzitzis have to be? Bishamay Yomir dalet. Bishamay says four. So according to Bishamay, it has to hang down four etzbois beneath the knots. According to Beis Hillel, it's only three. She Beis Hillel Oimrim, Beis Hillel say, Achas me arba betefach shel kol adam. When Beis Hillel say that it's three tvachim, what kind of three tvachim are we referring to? Three etzbois. It means one etzba, which is one-fourth of a tefach. As we'll see in a moment, that the shear of a tefach was always referred to by Chazal in terms of how many etzbois it's made out of. But sometimes you're going to find a tefach that's made up of four etzbois. Sometimes a tefach that's made up of five etzbois. Sometimes a tefach that's made up of six etzbois. How's that possible? Tefach is a tefach is a tefach. So either it's four, it's five, it's six. The teretz is, it depends which finger are we talking about. If you're talking about the thumb, which is a thicker finger, it's 1/4 of a tefach. So there's four thumbs to the five middle fingers and six pinkies. Either way, when Beis Hillel says it's four etzbois, we mean four of the larger etzbois, four thumbs. Amarav, Papa, tefach deiraisa. The tefach deiraisa is dalut begoidel. It's made up of four thumbs. Shispektana, six pinkies. Chamesh betilsa, and five middle fingers. Amarav, huna, dalut betaych dalut, and mushulash is dalut. Dalacha, as it relates to tzitzis, is dalut, which are dalut and dalut. Just remember dalut. Remember the number four. How so? Number one, it's four chutin, like Bishamai said. Number two, it has to be within four etzbois of the corner of the baguette in order for it to be considered to have been on the kanaf. Umushulesh is dalet, and it has to hang down four etzbois as well. So Rav Huna said, dalet, chain, dalet, which is a chiddush, because he's paskining in two regards like Bishamai. Number one, he's paskining like Bishamai that it's four chutin and not three. Number two, he's saying it has to be mishuleshes dalet. It has to be hanging down four etzbois and not three. Rabbi Yehuda says gimel, but teich gimel mishuleshes gimel. No, it's not dalet, but rather it's gimel. It has to be three chutin, which later becomes six. It has to be within three etzbois of the corner of the baguette, and it has to be hanging down three etzbois, not four etzbois. Amr apapa, what's the bottom line? Hilchasa dalet. Said Rapapa, the halacha is not dalet. It's not gimel. It's dalet, gimel, dalet. Dalet, you start off with four chutin. Gimel, it has to be within three etzbois of the corner of the baguette. And then dalet, it has to hang down. Dalet, says the Gemara, this is all suggesting that there's a shear of how long the tzitzis have to be. From Minu, I'll ask you a kasha. Tzitzis, ain't tzitzis el yoytze. The word tzitzis suggests that it hangs, and at the same time, it doesn't suggest the shear. Meaning, it could be even a mashu. In fact, it was a ma'isah kachoya with the ziknei beishamai and the ziknei beisul. They all went to the aliyah of Yoichanan ben Beseira, and they were discussing the laws of tzitzis. And they said tzitzis has no shear. Interesting. So they said the same is true regarding a lulav. Ein by shir, my lav, ein lo shir klal. Doesn't it mean that there's no shir at all? So again, we have two rayas that tzitzis has no shir. Number one, the word tzitzis is ain't tzitzis ela mashu. Somehow that's related to the word itself. And it was a story, a ma'isa shahaya kachaya, with the ziknei beishamai and the ziknei beisul, and they all said tzitzis ain't lashir. So the Gemara says, no, what it means is ain't lashir l'mayla, avo yesh lashir l'mata. Ain't lashir means, zok rashi, the kamad abay la'havi yarech. If you want to have those tzitzis that hang all the way down to the floor, that's okay.
Question is if it could sweep the floor, which is less a shayla with tzitzis, more a shayla with a talis, ben tzitzis hakeses. That's a whole different discussion for a whole nother day. It's a Magen Avraham and Simon Chafalev. But the point is that tzitzis, technically, they can be as long as you want them. But there is a minimum shear. The Zikta Bishami, the Zikta Beisil said that similarly, as it relates to lulav, there's no shear as well. Is that true? Hachi namad ein l'shir klal. But now we're going to the Mishnah lulav sheyesh by gimel tvachim kiden linaneya by kasher. That a lulav has to have at least three tvachim, so you should be able to do nanuim. Elo, what does it mean when the Ziknei Beishamai and the Ziknei Beisil said that lulav is ein l'shir, ela ein l'shir l'mayla, aval yesh l'shir l'mat, hachi nami, ein l'shir l'mayla, aval yesh l'shir l'mat. So the bottom line, there is a shir. It's interesting that Rapapa came and Rapapa said that there was confusion. There was a machloikis. Dalit, 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 gimel, gimel, gimel. And Rapapa was machriya. It's dalit, gimel, dalit. Dalit meaning that the amount of chutin you need to put into each kanaf of the baguette is four and not three. Gimel has to be within three etzbayis at the corner of the baguette, and Dalit has to hang down four tefachim. What's interesting is Rapapa was paskening like Beis Shammai, because the first Dalit and the second Dalit, Dalit, Gimel, Dalit, the two Dalits were really a subject of dispute amongst the Tanam, specifically Beis Shammai and Beis Silul. And in both cases, Beis Shammai said Dalit. Beis Shammai said Dalit chutin, Beis Silul said only three chutin. Beis Shammai said it has to hang down Dalit etzbayis, Beis Silul said only has to hang down three etzbayis. So Rapapa is passing like Beis Shammai, which is a very big chiddush, because we know the rule. Beis Shammai u Beis Silul, asud lovei, the halacha is going to be like Beis Shammai. But right now, Baal Mohadein, the halacha is always like Beis Silul. And in fact, Tosfos in Masechta Sukkah that we referenced yesterday, on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, where Tosfos brings from Rab Amram, who said, in Beshisha Mekoymes halacha ke Beis Shammai. So the first one is in terms of the Shir Sukkah, Rosh Adverut Mevishulchane, which is the halacha, and that's Shitas Beis Shammai, it's not Shitas Beis Shammai. V'idach, I'm just reading from Tosfos, Sukkah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, B'menachis Perekat Cheles Daf Nem Amir Aleph, Gabi Sadim Betzitzis, Beshamai Poitrin, Ube Sol Machaib. We spoke about that yesterday. Oit Sham, Kamachutin Hunoise, Beshamai Abrin Dalit, Ube Sol Gimel, Oit Hosam, Kamatemish Ulashes, Beshamai Dalit, Ube Sol Lemim Gimel, Bechol Hani Abdi Kibeshamai. Like our papa came out, Lemaisa. So the tzitzis that we wear today follows Beshamai. We mentioned yesterday quickly the Gemara about Rabba Bar Barchana and Bava Basra the Fine Dalit when the Arab merchant showed him the. Took him sightseeing in the Midbar, and he showed him the Meisei Midbar, and he ripped off a corner of one of the begadim, of the tachrichin, of one of the Meisei Midbar. He wanted to bring it back to Beis Medrash so they can analyze the laws of tzitzis. And then he couldn't move, so he left it there, and they came to him, and they asked him, they said, Rabbi Bar Bachan, why did you leave it there? At the very least, you should have looked, you should have been Mayan. What was he supposed to see? So if you look at that Gemara a little bit more clearly, you look at the rest of the story, they said, look at how many chutim were there. Were there eight or six? Was it four or was it three? Is the halacha like Beis Shammai or is the halacha like Beis Silul? Interesting. Either way, Zok the Gemara Vaitatan Rabbanon, ain't tzitzis, elon. The word tzitzis suggests that something's hanging down. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel over there, it's referring to a blurus, like a chup. But the point is that's what the word tzitzis means. It has to be like the tzitzisa, like this blurus that our mom used to wear, which was tied together at the top, and it just loosened more at the bottom, which is the way the tzitzis are. You're supposed to make it tight at the top, and then at the bottom it drapes down. Hit the oh yeah, like if the tzitzis were put on the corner, literally on the corner, you affixed it to the corner of the baguette, what we do is we put it a little bit higher, right? And there's like a little loop, and then it hangs down from beneath. Over here, it was literally put on the corner of the baguette. Oh yeah, like dill. Or if there was a hem on the bottom of the baguette, and you put it on the hem, k'sher the loch is its kosher. Blessed when Yaakov Poisel b'shneim says the Gemara Kmanu as a hadam Rav Gidol Merab tzitzis tzricha shneim and tefes ala keren. There's a Rav said that the tzitzis has to be on the keren itself. So it's not enough that it's attached to the keren, but the tzitzis need to be touching the corner, which is what we do. We have that loop that goes around the corner, so the tzitzis are ala beged. And Rav said, I know it from a pasuk shneimar al kanfei vigdeim. It's not just on, attached to the kanfei bigdayim, but it's on, it's touching, it's clapping against kanfei bigdayim. So if Rav said such a halach, it must be keman k'reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, because according to the Chachamim, you're allowed to put it on the corner, so it's going to be hanging from the corner, but it's not going to be clapping on the corner. It's not going to be literally al kanfei bigdayim. I'm Rav Yaakov, I'm Rav Yoichan, mitzarch sheyarchik meloy kesher goydol. You have to make sure that it is far from the corner. Meaning, how? Sorry, if the halach is like Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, or Rav Paskin like Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, Mishnasay shel Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov kavenaki. Right? There's not a lot of halachas from Eliezer ben Yaakov, but he's naki. Whenever we have Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov in Shas, the halach is like it. However, it's worth mentioning the Shita Sarash Masechta Zeirvin, with the Rush has a kasha from a sugya with Allah Chazal like Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, and he says we have a Masaira that Mishnasish Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov Kavanok is 102 places, the gematria of the word Kav, where the Allah follows Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov, but it doesn't mean every single time. But regardless, over here the Allah is like Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. So Reb Yaakov, in the name of Reb Yoichanan, now elaborated on this psak of Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov that says that it can't be literally on the corner, it has to be al kanfei bigdayim. Okay, so how far from the corner? From the top of your thumb down to the knuckle of your thumb, which is, by the way, approximately gimel etzbois. If that's the case, then essentially what Rav Yaakov Amar Rav Yoichanan was saying was what Rav Papa had already said. Because when Rav Papa paskined the halachas, he said hilchas dalid B'toich shalosh, mishulash asarba. Dalit gimel dalit. So the two dalits, the two bookmarks, was the two beishamais that Rav Amram said we paskin like. But what's the middle halacha that Rav Papa was referring to? Mishulash as dalit. That it has, b'toich shalosh. That it has to be within three. So essentially, Rav Yoichanan and Rav Papa are saying the same thing, albeit in different words. Rav Papa said it has to be b'toich shalosh. Rav Yoichanan said v'tzorich sheyarchik meloy kasher gadol, which is also gimel etzbois. So aren't they saying the same thing? In other words, it's a kasha. Why is Rav Papa and Rav Yoichanan just saying the same thing? Kasha's on Rav Papa, who came later. So the Gemara, v'itzdirich de Rav Papa, v'itzdirich de Rav Yaakov. Dima de Rav Papa, I mean, I would have thought toich gimel deloy lechete. Had I always only had Rav Papa, so I would have thought, what was Rav Papa's lashon? It has to be b'toich gimel. He just told you how close to the corner it has to be. So I would think it can't be further than gimel. But v'kama de mikra v'maili. But the closer it is to the corner, maybe it's a good thing. It's the Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov said, no, v'tzorich sheyarchik meloy kesher gadol. It has to be at least three etzbayis far. Now, even the Rabbi Yaakov, that only had Rabbi Yaakov, hava mina meloy kesher gadol delay likrif tvei. It can't be closer than three, but v'kama de rochik maili. Maybe you can make it as far as you want, and maybe it's even better. The further you do it, tava yalav bracha, says the Gemara, tzricha. In other words, they were both saying gimel etzbayis, but one was saying how close it should be. The other one was saying how far it should be. Rav Papa was saying it has to be within three, meaning it can't be further. Rav Yaakov was saying it has to be at least three, it can't be closer. So between the two, I know there's an exact, a precise place where you're supposed to put the tefillin, where you're supposed to put the tzitzis, and you're supposed to put the tzitzis within three etzbeis. Ravina, Rav Sama, Yosef, Kamei, Rav Ashi, Chazir, Rav Sama, Lekarni, Deglimi, Ravina, Rav Sama saw the corner of Ravina's beged, the sosar, Ubatzar meblay kasher gadol. So the tzitzis were closer than three etzbayis from the corner of the baguette. It was like very close to the corner. Amar le, so he told him le sabal amar lahadir Rav Yaakov. Do you not hold a look? Rav Yaakov's Rav Sama sees Ravina there. He tells Ravina, do you not hold a Rav Yaakov's halacha that tzorich sheyarchik? It has to be at least three etzbayis removed. Amar le, so he told him b'shas asiyah itmar. Of course I hold like Rav Yaakov. He said in the name of Rav Yoichanan. Of course I know the halacha. But that halacha was b'shas asiyah. When you make the tzitzis, it has to be that way. But it doesn't mean that if later the tzitzis tear a little bit or the baguette tears a little bit, and it comes a little closer to the corner, it's no worries. You don't have to worry about it. It doesn't make this. So the Gemara says, Ichsif. Where if Sama heard that, he was a little embarrassed. He was embarrassed that Ravina was able to prove him wrong. I mean, he thought he had a Kaya Chataina. He gives nice Musar, very edel. And Ravina told him, you're making a mistake. You don't even know the Halacha. You're giving me Musar about the Halacha. And it's a Halacha that you didn't properly research. You didn't know that it's true. There's an Inyan of Toich Gimel, or it can't be Toich Gimel, but that's only with regards to the Shas Asiyah. So he turned to Rav Ashi, and you know, he had this embarrassed look on his face. Only Rav Ashi told him, don't feel bad. Chad minayu ki trei min non. Meaning, Ravina's from Eretz Yisrael. I mean, he's a Charif. He's an Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud Chacham. We're from Bavel. So you're right, one of him is greater than two of us. The point is that Ravina, because he came from Eretz Yisrael, that's why he had a special Koyach HaTorah. So if you were upgefrecked from a Babylonian scholar, maybe that'd be a reason to be a little embarrassed. But from the fact that it's coming from an Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud Chacham, that's really a whole different story, because Chad Minayu is Ketrei Minan. So you can't say this Gemara without digressing for a second. And that is that it's just interesting that the Chavis Yar, in his tshuva that we reference a lot, in Simon Tzadik Dalet, where he goes through his Klali Apsak, so he says, whenever there's Machloikis, Ravina and Ravashi. So we know Ravina and Ravashi together wrote the Talmud Bavli. So whenever there's a Machloikis between Ravina and Ravashi, the Halach is like Ravina. And he says, even though the Gemara says in Erevin, the Ravashi was Ravina's Talmud Chavar, whatever, but still the Halach is like Ravina. You know why? Because Ravina lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Ashi lived in Bavel, and Avira, the Eretz Yisrael, Machkim. And it's a Svarin Halacha, and it's for that reason, whenever there's a machloikis Ravina and Rav Ashi, the Halacha is going to be like Ravina. So we've spoken out an Arichas of this in the past. The Ramban in his Melchamis somewhere says, whenever there's a machloikis Rav and Rav Zera, the Halacha is like Rav Zera. Because Rav Zera also went to Eretz Yisrael. And he also was Zoichat Avir to Eretz Yisrael Machim. We suggested that maybe this is related to the fact that Halacha is always like Rav Yechanan Keneged Rav and Shmuel, even though Rav is a Tanu and Polig, and Taisus says in Ksubas Tav Chasim and Aleph, the bottom Taisus is that Rav Yechanan is not a Tanu and Polig. So it's funny that Rav can't, but maybe, again, this is an Arichas, Rabbi Chana brings Rabbi Chaim Rain on this already, but the bottom line is it could be Rabbi Yechanan also, because he was the Gadol Adar in Eretz Yisrael, Rav and Shmuel were the Gedolei Adar in Bavel. There's a concept in Halacha no less, of Vavira the Eretz Yisrael, Machke. But there's a very important Maramachim, there's a Ritva Masechtes Yuma, Dafnun Zayin. And the context over there is Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah used to make comments sometimes about the Yidden that were living in Bavel. And over there, Rabbi Yirmiyah famously quipped, he said, regarding the Babylonian scholars, Mishum de Dairi Ba'ira de Chashucha, Amri Shmeitza de Chashichan, because they live in a very dark, gloomy, cloudy kind of environment. So all the Torah they say is murky. That's the way their Torah comes out. And the Ritva over there brings a tshuva from the Rambam, that the Rambam discussed the state of affairs that was going on in Bavel and in Eretz Yisrael at the times of the Chachmei HaTalmud, and the Rambam says that not all times, not all tekufas were created equally. He says there were times it was much easier to learn Torah in Bavel over Eretz Yisrael because there was persecution in Eretz Yisrael. And then he says, Fakert, he says there were times where it was easier to learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael than it was in Bavel. And he says, Reb Zeira said, Avir Eretz Yisrael Machkim, because in Reb Zeira's times, it was in Eretz Yisrael, it was a great time to learn Torah. And Bavel was very hard. There were persecutions going on in Bavel. And then the Rambam says, but in the times of Rav Ashi, for example, it was just the opposite. He says, in the times of Rav Ashi, then in Bavel, and he says, look at what Rav Ashi did. Rav Ashi wrote the Talmud Bavli. And Chazal said, "Mi Mois Moshe, right, Leimatzinu Torah V'gdula B'makam Echad." Who was Torah V'gdula B'makam Echad? Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Yehuda Anasi, and Rav Ashi. The Teres Chaim of Masechta Sanhedrin says, what did all three have in common? They all contributed to Chelek and Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Torah Shebik Zav. Rav Yehuda Anasi wrote the Mishnah, and Rav Ashi wrote the Talmud Bavli. Half fascinating. And he said to have been able to undertake something like that, it wasn't enough to be great in Torah, but you had to have Gedula also. It was Torah v'Gedula b'Makom Echad. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Rav Yehuda Hanasi, it's Rav Ashi. But the Rambam says, things must have been good in Bavel at that time. You must have been able, this is the Rambam, the historian talking, says the Rambam's in the times of Rav Ashi, and the Raya is from the fact that he wrote the Talmud Bavli, things were better. So it always bothered me on the Chavis Yar. Chavis Yar says, whenever there's Machlekes Ravina Rav Ashi, the Halacha is like Ravina. Why? Avir Eretz Yisrael Machdim. And what's the Raya to say such a Svar? It comes from the Rishonim, the Ramban. The Ramban says about Rabbi Rav Zeira. But learn the Tshuvas HaRambam. The Rambam says it was different Kufis. He says Rav Zeira said Avir Eretz Yisrael Machdim because of what was going on at that time. But then when the Rambam brings an example of a tkufa, where in Bavel it was even easier to learn, what's his example? It's Rav Ashi. Maybe this Gemara is a Makar, because this is Rav Ashi talking. And Rav Ashi said, Rav Ashi himself said, he confessed it. Rav Ashi said, he tells Rav Samla, don't be embarrassed from the fact that Ravina stumped you, so to speak, because Chad Minan is Kitrei Minayu. Either way, we have a lot of rate to get to. Zok the Gemara Vayit Rav Acha Bayakov. Rav Acha Bayakov, when he used to make tzitzis, Rami Dalet Va'ayef Luhu Meyef U'Ma'ayel Luhu Beglima Va'avik Luhu Mevik. So Rav Acha Bayakov made tzitzis not the way we make tzitzis today. What he would do is he would take the four chutin, like Bishamai, he would fold it over, and he would take the loop side of now the eight chutin. So he didn't put it through the tzitzis yet. What we do is we put four tzitzis through the hole. He's put eight chutin through the hole. So he first doubled it over, put it through. You have a little loop on the side, and he would take the eight strings, run it through the loop. Exactly. And he would fasten it, and that's how we had it. Why did he do that? Because he had the makar of eight, which is learned out from Gil Gdilim, is b'makom sil. You don't just need eight hanging. You need eight going through, but only eight hung. Rav Yirmiyah Midifti Rami Tamne the Iyushetzer. Rav Yirmiyah Midifti held like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. He also held that you have to put eight through, but he held that you put eight through and then 16 are supposed to hang down. I mean, he didn't tie it the way Rav Acha Bar Yaakov did. And then finally, Mar Breda Ravina Ovid Kedidon. He did it the way we do. Rav Nachman Ashkel Rav Adabar Havu Rami Chuti become a varich. This next Gemara is a classic. Rav Nachman met Rav Adabar Havu. He was making tzitzis and he made a brach. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. And then he concluded, Asher Kedishah Rabbah Mitzvahis V'Tzivonu Lassoy Tzitzis. Amalei, he said, my tzitzi shamana. What is the tzitzi that I'm hearing? Is somebody making a bracha on Asiyah Tzitzis? He said, no way. Hachi Yomer Rav. Rav said, tzitzis ain't tzricha bracha. You can't make a bracha. So Rav Nachman told Rav Adabar Havu, don't you know Rav's psak and machshkam brocha? You're not supposed to make a brocha when you make tzitzis. Kinoch nafshi the Rav Uno. When Rav Uno passed away, all Rav Chizda remember the Rav HaDerav. So Rav Chizda enters Beis Medrash and he asked the steering Rav. Why Rav Chizda had to wait until Rav Uno passed away is for another day. So Rav Chizda now walks in. Rav Chizda was Rav Uno's Talmud. So he walks in and he said, "Me, I'm a Rav tzitzis ain't tzricha brocha." Did Rav really say that you don't make a brocha on tzitzis? I have a steer of Amar Rav Yudam Rav. Rav Yudam said the name of Rav. Night tzitzis baby kachamah shibsula. How do you know that a guy is not allowed to make tzitzis? Shenema darbel bnei Yisrael vaasula hem tzitzis bnei Yisrael. Yasu, v'lo yoyev dekechavim yasu. Only he is allowed to make tzitzis. A guy, a non-Jew, an ain't a Yehudi, is not allowed to make tzitzis. And Rav Chizda felt that was a stira. What's the stira? Could Rav have said that you don't make a bracha on tzitzis? But Rav said that an ain't a Yehudi, a guy, is not allowed to make tzitzis. Fake to go over, Mike Rumya. Why is that a stira? What does one have to do with the other? The two very important halachas and hilchos tzitzis. One is you don't make a bracha on tzitzis, and the other one is that a guy is not allowed to make tzitzis. But Ma'in Shmita Itzel Arsinai, Amr Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, let me explain to you Rav Chizda's kasha. Because Rav Chizda, hell, kol mitzvah shekshir by v'kechavim, be Yisrael ain't tzarech levarech. Any mitzvah that a guy is allowed to do, when a yid does the mitzvah, he doesn't make a bracha. Kol mitzvah shepsula by v'kechavim. But any mitzvah that a guy is not allowed to do, or if he would do it, it would be possible. It wouldn't be a proper chefetz shel mitzvah. Be Yisrael tzarech levarech. And if he does it, he has to make a bracha. And that was the stira. So Rav Chizda said, if an any Yehudi is not allowed to make tzitzis, then by definition it means it falls under the klal of tzarech levarech. How could Rav have said that when you make tzitzis, you don't make a bracha? If that's the case, it's a stira in Rav, because Rav said a guy is not allowed to make tzitzis. If a guy can't make tzitzis, then by definition it means he's most about the Gemara. It says, v'klolohu, and this is going to take us to the end of our part of the daf. Not to the end of the daf, but to the end of where we're going to stop. Says the Gemara, v'klolohu, is this a real rule? Meaning, any time a guy can do something, he can make a cheftze shal mitzvah, the halacha is, you don't make a bracha. If a guy can't do it, then you do make a brach. What about pres mila? You can have a non-Jewish, who's the mile, right? A non-Jewish mile, it's okay. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Irsha Einbari Reif Yisrael. A city that doesn't have a Jewish doctor or someone that's qualified to do pres mila. But there's an armoy that's a roife, or a roife kuti. So the Gemara says, Yimal armoy by Yimal kuti. It's more preferable for the armoy to do than for the kuti to do. You the just the opposite. Kuti v'lay armoy. But the bottom line is that either the Kuti or the Armoy could do it. The question is, who comes first? So you see, an any Yehudi is kosher to do Bris Mila. What's the kasha? Ubi Yisrael Tzarech Levarech. But of course, when you do Bris Mila, you make a bracha. But the Gemara says, we're discussing Rav Shita. And Rav Mifsal Pasal, Rav happens to hold that a guy cannot do Bris Mila. The Itmar we learned. How do you know that a guy is not allowed to do Bris Mila? Dar Bapapa is the Rav. I'm a Dar Bapapa is in the name of Rav. It says, Va'ato es Brisi Tishmar. Va'ato es Brisi Tishmar. Avram Avinu, his family. Only you're allowed to do Bris Mila. Only you were commanded to do Bris Mila, and only you can do the physical circumcision. Rabbi Yechanan Amar Hamoil Himal Yimal, and we learn from there Hamoil Yimal. We spoke at a lot of raid on this. Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Chav Zayin, Amir Aleph, Alach, some Seifers, and a lot of fun raid. But either way, Rabbi Yechanan said Hamoil Yimal. Bottom line is Rav Shita is from Vatas Brisi Tishma that any Yehudi is not allowed to do Bris Milah. So it's not a stira. The fact that we make a bracha is not inconsistent with this rule. Rav Chizda held and Rav Al Kopanim to such a law that says that anytime a guy cannot do something, you make a bracha. I bris milah. No, a guy can't do bris milah. It's Rav Shita. Yeah, there's Tanam that hold not that way. But Rav, maybe Tanu Paul, and Rav held that a guy is not allowed to do bris milah. If that's the case, it's not inconsistent with the rule. But the Gemara says, I'll ask you another kasha. Sukkah, misayayale, tefillin havi tufta. In other words, a raya to the rule from Sukkah. And a tufta to the roof from tefillin. Ari sukkah, what's the raya from sukkah? The ksheir rabbi kechabim. A guy is allowed to build a sukkah for you. The tanya, ask your local rabbi. Schach, everything. Learn sukkahs, oivdei kechabim, sukkahs nashim, sukkahs behem, sukkahs kutiyim, sukkah mikom makim ksheir. Ubevad shetehem mesuchaches kilchasa. So a guy, that's one of the things mentioned in this braisa, is sukkahs oivdei kechabim, is okay. Ubi Yisrael, when a yid builds a sukkah, ain't sarach levarich. The time we learn to the bais, oitz sukkah latzmai. If somebody makes a sukkah for himself, oimer baruch atah Hashem alikenu melech olam shechiyanu vikimanu vikiyanu lasman hazeh. But leishabah, when you sit down in the sukkah, oimer baruch atah Hashem alikenu melech olam shechiyanu vikiyanu lasman hazeh. But leishabah sukkah. The Gemara says that we make both brachas when we sit in the sukkah. But the point is veilu lasois sukkah loimevarich. You don't make a bracha on the asiyas sukkah. Why? Because the guy can build the sukkah. It's very nice with this rule. You know why we don't make a bracha on the because anytime a guy can do something, we don't make a bracha on it. Yerushalmi, of course, holds. You do make a bracha on Asiyas Sukkah. Is Asiyas Sukkah mitzvah? It's only a Hechsher mitzvah. The Tshuva Dami Nezer, Rashi and Makis, the Inkam Mekoyimai. So Asiyas Sukkah is a raya. Tiyufte. Tefillin is a... But I'll ask you a kasha from Tefillin. Vare Tefillin, the psula is like Kichavim. The guy's not allowed to write Tefillin. That's obvious. Ditani Rab Chinina Bere Derava Mi Pashranya Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah Shkasvin Stuki Kudi Avi Kichavim Eved Isha Kot and Mumer, Psulin, all of the aforementioned are not allowed to write tefillin. Shenemar ukshartam, uchsavtam. And we learn from there, kol she yeshnoi bikshira, yeshnoi bikshiva, kol she enoi bikshira, enoi bikshiva. And being that the tzeduki, the kuti, the goy, the eved, isha and katan, and mumer are enam bikshira, as a result, they're enoi bikshiva as well. Ubi Yisrael. If a yid, a soifer, is sitting down to write parashis at tefillin, doesn't make a bracha. The sholach rabchi abrei the rav and mishmei the rabbi yechanan al tefillin shal yad oimer baruch hashem ki dishanu b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu laniach tefillin al tefillin shal roish oimer baruch hashem ki dishanu b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu al mitzvahs tefillin. Those are the two brachas you make on tefillin. V'ilu lasos tefillin loy mevarech, but you don't make a bracha of lasos tefillin. Why not? Elolav haynu tak. Why don't you make a bracha? What's the kasha? The kasha is that if you're going to tell me that any time a guy can't do something, then you make a bracha, this is this rule, which was the basis of Rav Chizda's kasha, that being that a guy can't make tzitzis, dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta, vasulam tzitzis. So therefore, you should make a bracha on tzitzis. How could Rav Chizda have thought that? Tfilin is a tyufta. So we had a kasha from Bris Milah. We were able to answer that. We have a raya from Sukkah. Sukkah works out very neatly. But tefillin tiyufte. Again, what's the tiyufta? You see clearly from tefillin that a guy is not allowed to write tefillin. At the same time, you don't make a bracha on asiyas tefillin. Because the only brachas you make on tefillin are, you make the laniach tefillin on the shal yad, al mitzvah tefillin on the shal roish. You don't make a bracha on asiyas tefillin. Ella, says the Gemara, hainu taima. So you want to know, in terms of the rule of thumb, when you make the bracha and when you don't make the, we're not going back to Rav Chizda now. We're just reconciling. On sukkah, no. On tefillin, right? When? Mila, yeah. Tefillin, no. Tzitzis, it's a discussion. So how do you know when exactly to make a bracha? Not, right? We have different rulings here for different classes of mitzvahs. So how do you know what to do? The rule must be like this. Kol mitzvah asiyasa gemar mitzvah. Every asiyah. That is the gemar. That's the mitzvah itself. Kugain mila. Afagaf k'sher by v'kechavim. According to Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, b'Yisrael sarach levarach. Yid has to make a bracha. The chol mitzvah da'asiyasa lav gemar. And any mitzvah with asiyasa mitzvah is not the gemar. It's only a hechsher mitzvah. Kugain tefillin. What's the gemar of tefillin? When you actually put the tefillin on, afagaf the psulos by v'kechavim b'Yisrael. Ain't sarach levarach. Sukkah is the same way. Oh, what about tzitzis? Very good, Aaron. Ubit tzitzis behakam ifulgi mar sovar chayvus talusu. Shmack a punchline. Umar Sava Chavis Gavrahu. The Shaila Gufa. Whether or not you should make the bracha tzitzi tzitzi. What's this tzitzi that I heard? Because Rav Adar Bar Hava held that you're supposed to make a bracha on tzitzis. And Rav Nachman was very well. He said, no, you don't make a bracha. What's the Shaila? The Shaila is when you put tzitzis on the beged, right then and there, are you Mekayim the mitzvah? If tzitzis is a Chavas Talis, it's a din in the Chefza, then the halach is, it's a Gemar. Then you're supposed to make the bracha. That's where Rav Adar Bar Hava held. But if it's a Chavas Gavra, so that means it's when the person's wearing it, that's when the Chi of Tzitzis is. So then you're not going to make the bracha until later. Amalei Rav Mordechai the Ravashi, Achtun Hachi Masnisun La, Anan Hachi Masninun La. So apparently Rav Nachman or others had a girsa that Rav held that a guy is not allowed to make Tzitzis. And how did he know that? Dabra B'nei Yisrael, V'yamarta Alev Asulam Tzitzis, only a Yid's allowed to make Tzitzis. I heard just the opposite. I'm Rav Yudah, my Rav. Minay lebet tzitzis b'yavdi chavin shekshera. How do you know that a guy is allowed to make tzitzis? Shenemar dab rov in Yisrael v'asu lehem tzitzis yasu lehem la'acherim. It doesn't say dab rov in Yisrael v'yasu. Dab rov in Yisrael v'asu lehem. Should be malachtei nasis al yedei acherim. Dab rov in Yisrael, tell him to hire, right, someone to make tzitzis for you. That's essentially what it says. So it's dab rov in Yisrael v'asu lehem. It should be made for them. Just the opposite. Bnei Yisrael should hire other people to do it on their behalf. That's the way tzitzis is supposed to be made. So this pasuk is not a makar that a guy cannot make tzitzis. Just the opposite. This pasuk is a makar that a guy can make tzitzis. Exhale. Yeah. All right. So as promised, we're learning Perikat Chelis, and there's so little time and so much read. So we're going to go out of order a little bit and just speak a little bit about Chelis. Really, the most appropriate time to speak about the Chelis would be on Daf Mem Dalet, but so we'll speak a little bit about Mavin Yovin. So we'll speak a little bit about tzitzis, about the tchelas right now. So we're learning Perikat Tchelas, which of course discusses the chutim of tchelas that one is obligated to put into his beged of dalut kanfos that has tzitzis. And the makar, of course, is a pasuk in the Torah. Hakon of psul tchelas vasulam tzitzis. That tzitzis is supposed to be made up of chutei lavan, which, of course, is a little bit of a misnomer. It doesn't have to be white, but assuming your beged is white, then your tzitzis would be white. But if your beged is red, then the tzitzis would be red. If your beged is green, the tzitzis would be green. But there's also supposed to be chutin of tcheles as well. And Chazal wax poetic about the chashivas of tcheles. We're going to learn the Gemara. And daf mem gimel amid beis. Tcheles doymil yam, yam doymil rakia. Kisei HaKavod, and there's a lot of symbolism in tcheles. It was Big Day Malchus, the kings used to wear this tcheles. But the point is that tzitzis are supposed to be made up of tcheles, and it's a mitzvah asei d'oraisa, stating that most of Klal Yisrael, or at least a lot of Klal Yisrael, does not wear tcheles. So the question is why? If it's a mitzvah asei d'oraisa to have tcheles on your beged, why do many, many Jews not wear tcheles? And the answer is very simple. The answer is because it's difficult for us today to make the tchelas simply because we do not have, and again, I know there's different shitas and klal Yisrael, so everything I say is, you know, I'm using these words loosely, but it's not clear today if we know exactly how to make the tchelas. And it's really based on the idea that the tchelas had to come from a certain creature known as the chilazon. Just to read the Lashon HaRambam in Hilchas Tzitzis, Perek Beis Halacha Beis, says the Rambam, Ketzad Soivim Tchelos Shel Tzitzis. How exactly was the tcheles made? Voikhin Hatzemer, you take wool, v'shoyer noisei besid, and you soak it in sid. V'achakach mechabse noisei, achi inaki, make it clean. Umarsichen oisei be'ahala, ki yoitzabai, ki derech shatzavon, oisem teishiklet esayin. V'achakach, afterwards, and this is the punchline, mevin dam chilazon, you bring blood from the chilazon, v'hu dag shadoi me'enoi le'enoi, anyways, the Rambam goes in and gives you the whole recipe of exactly how you're supposed to make tchelas. But the Rambam says a key ingredient is you have to take blood of the chilazon. The problem, we don't know what the chilazon is. And being that we don't know what the chilazon is, or it's unclear what the chilazon is, that's why Yidden stopped wearing tchelas. So you know when Yidden stopped wearing tchelas? When we lost this Messiah of exactly what the chilazon is. Incidentally, it's interesting. You know, yesterday we spoke out alumnus that the Beis Yosef brings from the Mardchai in the end of Simen Yud Gimel, and that is that there's no issa to wear a baggage of dal kanfis b'leit tzitzis. There's a mitzvah to put tzitzis on your beged shel dal kanfos. But let's say you can't put tzitzis on your beged shel dal kanfos because you're living on an island and you don't have tzitzis. Or because it's Shabbos, it's Yontif, where you're not allowed to make the kesher shel kayoma, you're not allowed to put tzitzis on. It'd be okay to wear the beged shel dal kanfos. If there was an iser to wear a beged shel dal kanfos blay tzitzis, it would not be okay. But the Beis Yosef brings from the Mardchai, who said it doesn't say loy silbash beged shel dal kanfos blay tzitzis, there's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis. So to the extent that I could be mekayim my mitzvah of tzitzis, there's an obligation to put on the beged shel dal kanfos. But let's say I can't, it's not possible for me to do it, it's okay. We spoke it out in the context of oisik mitzvah. I saw in the Sefer Das Noit, I think b'shem the Brisker Rav, Maron HaGriz, he said, I'll bring you a raya she'ein olav tshuva. And that is a mitzvah they rise to put on tcheles. It's part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah not to wear a beged shel dal kanfos blay tzitzis is, means you have to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis kiyidur, the way it's meant to be. And that is with tcheles. So how could you put on a beged shel dal kanfos blay tcheles? Aren't you by definition wearing a beged shel dal kanfos blay tzitzis? You're like, I have tzitzis. No, you don't. Tzitzis is with tcheles. Elamai, it's not ma'akif, because if you don't know what the tcheles is, because you don't know what the chilazin is, so you can't get the dama chilazin, so then it's okay. Okay, so then that's mamish the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is saying that to the extent you're in a state of oinus, and you have no way to be ma'akif, because really what we should have said is that if you don't know what the tcheles is, you don't know what tzitzis is, because you're getting involved in an isser, you're wearing now a beggar shodalat kanfis blay tcheles. What's the difference between wearing a beggar shodalat kanfis blay tzitzis, or wearing a beggar shodalat kanfis blay tcheles? Something to ponder. But either way, Yidden stopped wearing tcheles when Yidden forgot, or this Messiah of exactly what the chilazon was forgotten. Stating that about 150 years ago, the Ritzina Rebbe, who was a Veltz guy, and he wrote a Pirish on Tahiris, and he was a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he's known today as the Bala Tcheles, but the Ritzina Rebbe decided that he was going to find the tcheles. And he spent an inordinate amount of time and money and energy and koiches, and he went to an aquarium, and he spent almost a year there at Discovery, you know, analyzed different fish and mammals and aquatic creatures. And at the end of the day, the Ritzina Rebbe believed that he had discovered the tcheles. And he brought it back home, and he showed it to the Gedolei Yisrael, to Chafetz Chaim, to the Beis Halevi, to Rav Shula Kutner, and he showed it to all the Gedolim at the time. And Ruba the Ruba of the Gedolim wore a mask to the Ritzina Rebbe. And there's different anecdotes of what the respective Gedolim's reaction was, but pretty much the overwhelming consensus was that they weren't willing to accept that the Ritzina Rebbe had discovered the Tcheles, and although the Ritzina Chassidim followed it, and there were other followers as well, but for the most part, most of Klai Yisrael did not accept what the Ritzina Rebbe had done. It's interesting that in 1913, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, who later became the first chief rabbi of Israel, in 1948, he wrote his doctoral thesis, titled, I should say, The Royal Purple and Biblical Blue. And he too had written a thesis. He researched the tcheles. And he felt that he came very, very close to finding the tcheles. There was a snail, it's called the Murex trunculus, that he thought was the origin. That was the chilazin, and that's where the dam chilazin came from. And after doing extensive research, although he thought he came close, he felt he had made a mistake. And the reason is because although the dam of the chilazin of this Murex trunculus was blue, but it would change colors. It started off yellow or green. I don't know exactly how it worked. But the point is, it didn't remain blue. And because it didn't remain blue, so it was a percha, because really it's supposed to remain blue. At the end of the day, it's supposed to be tcheles. It's supposed to be blue. And being that it didn't remain blue, so as much as he had come close in his own mind to finding it, but there were some issues. Stating that in the 1980s, there was a chemist somewhere who was doing some work, and he, some say by mistake, had the dam, the blood of this Murex trunculus, and as it was changing colors, he brought it outside, he exposed it to the sunlight, and lo and behold, a miracle happened. It became blue. It just stopped and was blue. And what people realized is that all this research that Rabbi Herzog had done was not in vain. Because the truth is that the issue was the way that it changed colors. There was a way to get it to remain blue. And if that's the case, we have to revisit the Murex trunculus and see whether or not it was, in fact, the right tcheles. Now, just so you know, most ruba de ruba of people that wear tcheles today are wearing the dam of the Murex trunculus. meaning it's based on what Rabbi Herzog had first discovered, and then later this had been developed and embellished over years. But the bottom line is that there are many, many people that believe ubesoicham gedol Yisrael, that the Murex Trunculus is the Chilazon. Now, what's interesting is the reason it's so confusing to figure out exactly what the Chilazon is because there's so many Chazals that give different simanim, and there seem to be many stiras as well. And just to mention a few, go through it very, very quickly. Number one, the Braisa Menachas Daf Mem Dalel Amud Aleph, Tanu Rabbanan, Chilazon Zeh Gufay Doymel Liyam Ubriyasei Doymel Ladag. So the Braisa clearly describes it as being a sea-like creature. It's like a fish. But what's interesting, it doesn't even say it's a fish. It says that it's Doymel Ladag. Rashi in Sanhedrin in Perek Chelik, Daf Tzadik Aleph Amud Aleph, talks about the Chilazon, says Rashi, the Chilazon is a Toilas. Rashi calls it a worm. Rashi throughout Shas, when he talks about the Chilazon, he says it's Oyla Min Ayam. It makes sense. Based on this, Bryce over here, Menachas, Daphim, Dalim, and Aleph. It's Doymel Adag. So where do fish live? They live at sea. So it's Oyla Min Ayam. Stating that, if you look at Rashi and Menachas, Daphim, Dalim, and Aleph, three lines from the top, Zok the Hilig Rashi, Va'oyla Min Ha'aretz. So Rav Kivega and Gilyan Ashas sends you to all the other Rashis and Shas, and there's a truth from the Rebbe Yehuda. But the point is, Rashi says, Va'oyla Min Ha'aretz. So that's a little bit of a curveball. It's a fish and it's a worm. It's oyla min ayam, and then Rashi says that it's oyla min haaretz. There's a Rashi Masechtas Megillah Daf Vav Amud Aleph where Rashi's lashon is the Chilazon was oyla min hayam lahare. So now it's a mountain like creature. That adds a little bit of wrinkle. There's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there is discussing how exactly they used to extract the blood from the Chilazon, and the Gemara says they used to crack something. And most people seem to feel that means it was a shell. What are you cracking? Right? Don't crack a fish. So what are you cracking exactly? So it sounds like it's something that had a shell. The Braisa that the Gemara brings in Menachis, Memdal and Aleph, says that it was Oyla Echad L'Shivim Shana, once in 70 years. So it's Oyla once in 70 years. So no matter what, that's going to be very, very hard to satisfy. Right? How do you satisfy Oyla Echad L'Shivim Shana? So Rabbi Herzog in his thesis said that Echad L'Shivim Shana is like it's a guzma. What it means is that it was very, very rare. And a Raya L'Davar he brought was from the Gemara in the end of the first parak of Masechtas Makkos, where the Gemara says that the Sanhedrin used to kill once every 70. It was a clock, once every 70 years, or we killed somebody 47 years ago, so we can't do it again for another 20. That's not what it means. He said Oyla Echad L'Shivim Shana was Chazal's way of saying that it was rare. And the point is it's rare. It's not something that's very mutzo. You don't see it. It's not going to crawl in, underneath your door in the bungalow colony. It's not something that you're going to find on your fishing trip. It's something that's not so easy. You're safe. It's not something that's so easy to find. It's rare, which is, by the way, the reason that it was never expensive. Another simon that Chazal gave is that the blue never fades. So if you would wash it again and again and again and again and again, which, by the way, people that own tchelos will tell you, they've washed it 1,000 times and the color stays perfect. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Chavavam and Aleph says that you were able to find that the Tzaydei Chilazon, they used to be between Tzur and Haifa. So now we have a geographical hint in terms of where you may be able to find it. The Gemara Megillah Daf Vav Amud Aleph says that it was Bechelkoi Shel Zvulun. So the bottom line is, it's a fish, it's a worm, it's Oyla Min Hayam, it's Oyla Min Haaretz, it's Oyla Min Hayam, Leharim, it has a shell, it's in Chelek of Zvulin, it's Bein Tzur L'Chaifa Vos Tutzachtan. That's really what everybody's wondering out loud. What in the world is going on? It's not so easy to figure out. The bottom line is the pro-Tcheles camp believes that the Murex Trunculus somehow meets all this criteria. Now, they have to be matrix certain things, because obviously it's impossible to make this work 100%. It's going to be very, very hard. Because if you trip up on one of these prerequisites, then you're out. Then you're dead on arrival. It's not going to work. But it is important to note that just from a halachic standpoint, some of these simonim that are mentioned by Chazal are mentioned in midrashic contexts or in Divrei Haggadah. And we know that in the Yehuda, we even have a raid bite on this. That's how much we know this. But it's a mush. But anyway, so we even have, I mean, this is dvarim yuduim for something that you can't aim avin rayim and agada or from a psak halacha, right? The famous tshuva from the Nei of Yehuda, where somebody sent the Nei of Yehuda a shayla, he says he doesn't answer shaylas on agadata. And the shayla was like very upset. He said, what do you mean agadata? You gave the Nei of Yehuda musar. He says, what, agadata? You be mazals? He said, I'm not being mazals on agadata. That's not what I'm saying. He says, as a matter of fact, you know, the Rashba wrote a pirish on agadata. He says, you know what the Rashba Aron on Agadata? He says, you don't bring rayas in halacha from Agadata. So he says, if the Rashba said it, then I could say it. And the Rashba wrote a, he wrote a pirish on Agadata. And the Maisik Rav Kook, the blue Rashba, is the whole volume on Agadata, right? So he wrote on Agadata. He also said, you don't bring rayas from Agadata. So now you be the Serech, finish Ergif in the Rashba. The bottom line is, it's not halacha lemaisa. You can't bring halachas from Agadata. So the truth is, you have to sit down and figure out which one of these simanim were in halachic context, which are more in midrashic and Agadata context, because from a halacha standpoint, that would make a very, very big difference. But I'll just tell you a few interesting things. Number one, two interesting pro-tcheles things. Number one is that the achronim used the word to describe the schilazin. So Chazal's word was schilazin. But there's another word that you're going to find in Jewish literature, and that is the purpura. The purpura. Then there brings it others. There was a word purpura. What's interesting is that there were cultures, there are places in the world that refer to the Murex Trunculus as purpura. And that would be an eerie coincidence if that doesn't mean that somehow this Messiah that Yidden had, that the Chilazon had a name called purpura, and now there's this purpura that's Drengzich in the Welt, that by the way is this Murex Trunculus that a lot of people feel satisfies the Simonim. Right? Because it's a snail, so it has the shell, and it's sea-like, but it's amphibious. It's a thalamilus. Right? So the bottom line is, so it would be an eerie coincidence. But I'll tell you something else interesting that I heard, very, very, very brilliant. I heard this on a podcast from Rabbi Wolbe in Houston, who's a historian, and he has beautiful podcasts in history. So he said something very interesting. He said that we learned the Gemara yesterday, and really it's a Gemara in many places in Chas, that there was a fake Tcheles back in the day. And the fake Tcheles was known as the Kalo Yilon, right? The Kalo Yilon. And the Gemara talks about it in different places. We just had it yesterday, that there's issues with giving your Tcheles to your local cleaners because there's a chashash that he may swap out the Tcheles for the Kalo Yilon. So he said that if the this wasn't his own chap, he was saying it from someone he heard, but he said if the Murex Trunculus is not the Tcheles, then it certainly would have made a great fake, right? It would have been a fantastic, because it's very, very similar if it's not the real deal. So he says, how can we only know of one fake? How can we only know of the Kali Elon? How can we don't know of a second fake, the Murex Trunculus? So someone to say, that's a riot, that it's the real one. Because if it was a fake, then you'd have a second fake, not just the first one. I thought it was a good chap. Either way, so why not, right? So you have all the reasons to do it. So, or at least there's a good argument. So the question is, what the camp that holds not. So what's that? And by the way, Rabbi Yashiv held that the Tcheles, this Murex Trunculus, is not the Tcheles. Pran Kanievsky doesn't wear the Tcheles. He tells people that it's not the real Tcheles. So, right, most, in mainstream yeshivas, you don't see a lot of Tcheles. So the question is, why not? And really, there's three main reasons why not. The first one is because there are those that believe it doesn't meet the simanim. That it meets many of the simanim, but it doesn't meet all the simanim. And if it doesn't meet all the simanim, at the end of the day, it doesn't work. I heard a shiur from Rabbi Reisman, and Rabbi Reisman said that he's researched it, and he's 100% positive that it's not the chilazon. Says it's not, because he said, although it meets many of the criteria, it doesn't meet all the criteria. So simply, it just trips up. It doesn't work. Others feel there's a Messiah issue. At the end of the day, there has to be a Messiah. And if you don't have a Messiah, you don't do it. The third, and really the one that is the most compelling to a certain degree, because it's very hard to argue with, because, you know, you want to debate, it does meet the simanim, it does meet the simanim, it means this, it means that. But the one that the people that are anti the Tcheles, so to speak, really, really voice very, very loudly, is based on a Chazal. And it's really a Chazal in two places. It's a Medrash Rabbah in Parashas Shlach, and it's a Sefri in Parashas V'zayis HaBracha. The Medrash Rabbah says as follows. Medrash is talking about the mitzvah of tzitzis, it's a Parashas Shlach, Tassav Aloy Min Ha'asoy, it talks about the Lavan, it talks about the Tcheles. Says the Medrash, "Va'achshav ein lanu ela lavan." Today we only have the lavan. Shehatcheles nignas, because the tcheles was hidden. The Sefri in Parshas Vezeis Habracha tells the story. Amr Rabbi Yosi, "Pamachseisi mehalich mechsiv letzur." I was walking from ksiv letzur, umatzasi zokin echad. I met an old man. Vishaltiv b'sholoyim. Amarti leparnasascha b'ma. What do you do for a living? And he told me that I'm in the chilazon business. I'm a chilazon catcher. Bottom line is, I'm forwarding to the end. And he told him, "Amarti hashamayim niskaru sheganuz letzadikim lasulavay." That the chilazon is hidden, and it was hidden for the tzadikim lasulavay. The next line in the Sefri, in Vezeis Habracha, we're going to read this on Simchas Torah. Usfune tmune chayil. Zok the Sefri, sfune zuchi lasulavay. It's hidden. Sfune, it's hidden. It's hidden. So, there are those that argue it's a chazal. Chazal say it was hidden. And if it was hidden, it's checkmate. And there's a letter that the Beis Halevi supposedly wrote to the Radzina Rebbe, and Rabbi Yashiv refers to this letter, and Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky refers to this letter, it's hidden. And that's Rabbi Chaim's one-line tshuva to a lot of people that ask him about the Tcheles. It's hidden. Usfune tune chol. One letter that I saw in his own handwriting, Rabbi Chaim's handwriting, he said, I am Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Shlach. He says, I don't know what you want. It says it was Ganus, if it was Ganus. And the way the Beis Halevi said it was very sharp, that if you're going to find something that we know wasn't Ganus, and this Murik Strongs was not Ganus, it wasn't Ganus, it's been around. And being that it's been around, there are people that have artifacts and things that we use with the dye of the Dam. So that by definition means it can't be. So what's the other camp going to say? So there's a whole list of Mar Makaymus with the word, the Maril, and it comes from Gedoyle, Gedoyle Yisrael, and Kadmoinim, who clearly held not that way. That even though there's a Medrash Rab in Parash Shlach, and this is a free in Parashas Vazlei Sabracha, but they were willing to concede that if we ever found the Tcheles, we would wear the Tcheles. It's Ganus L'Tzadik and L'Asadavai. It should be Hilchas L'Mishicha. It should be Tishbi Yataritz Kuchiz L'Abayis. The Teretz is not the way. But there's an obvious question. And that is, if it's maybe the Tcheles, so why don't you say Sveikah D'Raisa L'Chumra, and Mi'Chumra you should put on the Tcheles? So this question was asked to Reb Chaim Briska. When the Radzina Rebbe was making the Tumma with his Tcheles, so they asked this question to Reb Chaim. Maybe he's right. You don't know for sure that he's right. What's that? Maybe it's right. Yeah, but it doesn't. It's not my but so if it's, but maybe it is. So if it is, and he's just dying it anyways. So l'chayra, why? What's the problem? Just go ahead, misafik, and wear it. Just don't. Shouldn't you say sveki the rice of l'chumra? And Reb Chaim said a superlumbus that reverberates because of this medrash. Reb Chaim said the only time you say sveki the rice of l'chumra is if you go and satisfy the safik, you're bevadai be mekayim the mitzvah. So let's say you have a safik if you have to sit in a sukkah. Maybe I do have to sit in a sukkah. Maybe I don't have to sit in a sukkah. So sveki the rice of l'chumra, sit in a sukkah. If I sit in the sukkah, I know I was mekayim the mitzvah. On the tzad that I had to, I fulfilled the mitzvah. Sveika d'oraisa l'chumra says, go do an act, a pa'ula, to satisfy the possibility that you have to do something, but only if after the fact you're going to know bevadai that you satisfied what you had to do. Super lumbus. But said Reb Chaim, if you're going to put on the tcheles, because of sveika d'oraisa l'chumra, so now you're wearing the tcheles. Do you know that you satisfied the mitzvah of tcheles? No, maybe it wasn't really the tcheles. The only time you say sveika d'oraisa l'chumra is if la'achra ma'is. So you know for sure you did it. But if l'achra ma'isa, you don't know for sure you did it, it's only 50 minutes. We have 3 more minutes, or 9 more minutes, really. But just one more ha'ara, and that is that really this is a very, very kachem diga thing. It's a very, very kachem diga thing. Why? Because there's 2 places in the Torah where the Torah mentions tcheles. It's not only in Parshas Shlach and the Parshas Tzitzis, but it's meant in most Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma begins. So one of the materials that were used in the Avodas HaMishkan, specifically in the Big Day Kahuna, was tcheles. Zok teiliger Rashi in Chumash, tcheles, tzemar, tzavua, bedam chilas. It's wool that was dyed with the blood of the chilazim. Vitzava yorei krashi says it's green, but either way, semet changes color. Semet savua bedam chilazim says Rashi. It's savua bedam. So you see that you needed the chilazim to make the tcheles for the big day kahuna. The Rambam in Hilchas Klei Hamikdash Perek Ches, when he talks about the big day kahuna, so the Rambam mentions the tcheles. Says the Rambam, v'chol makom shenem b'teira sheish or bad, wherever it says the word sheish or it says the word bad, hu hapishtim. It means linen. Who habutz utcheilasam ur bechamalken? Wherever it says the word tcheilas, who had semer had tzavua keetzem hashamayim, shehu patuch min hakoichel. Says the Rambam, wherever you find the word tcheilas, it's semer that's dyed keetzem hashamayim, and he says it's like a bluish color. Says the Mishnah Lemelech, v'lo yodati. I have a kash. The Rambam in Hilchis Tzitzis, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, we started with this Rambam. When the Rambam brings the Halacha, that Tzitzis has to be Tcheles, says the Rambam, Ketzat Tzoyvin, Tcheles Shal Tzitzis, and he gives you a whole recipe of exactly how it's supposed to do. But the Rambam says one very important caveat, that it has to be from the Dam of the Chilazoin. V'hu Dam, Adag, Shad, Einay Le'inayam. The Rambam says, by the way, it's blood. dami shachar. But anyway, but the point is, yarek shachar tcheles, it's a little confusing, right? But the point is the Rambam over there gives a whole arichah. It's not enough that it's blue. It's not enough that it looks like the shamayim. Tcheles doimil yam, yam doimil rikia. It has to be from the chilazin. Says, zok to Mishnah Melech, lo yodati. I don't know why the Rambam didn't mention chilazin over here in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. He mentioned chilazin when he talks about the tcheles of tzitzis. He doesn't mention chilazin when he talks about the tcheles of Big Day Kahuna. Pashtis. What the Mishnah Malach is saying is that the Rambam seemed to hold that the tchelas of the Big Day Kuna did not have to have chilazin. In other words, the machloek is Rashi ala Torah, and the Rambam, and it's Yad Chazoka, the way the Mishnah Malach was medayik in the Rambam. Rashi ala Torah says clearly, v'zois ha-tshu ma'asha tikhu u'tcheles, zok tehelig Rashi tzemer tzavu abedam chilazin. But the Rambam, in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash, Perek Ches doesn't mention a word about the chilazin. Yet in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, and Hilchas Tzitzis, he talks all about it. So in other words, the Big Day Kuna's tchelas, did it need chilazin or not? It seems to be a machloek. Rav Kiva Eger, in the first letter that he wrote to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, coming full circle, where Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer started his movement, and he wanted to bring the Avodah back, because he thought that would bring the Geula, and Makriv and Afal Pishe in Bayis, and he wanted to bring a Karban Pesach, to Metchuyah B'tzibur, etc., etc. So Rav Kiva Eger wrote a letter to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, and when we learned Masechta Zvachim, we spoke out parts of this letter, we focused more on Rav Kiva Eger's Iker Taina in the Tshuva, which was, we're not Kehanim today, right? You don't give a Kohen Challah today, says the Magen Avraham, because maybe he's not a Kohen. And even if he's a Kohen Miyuchis, Mitzada'av, but maybe he's a Cholol, Isha Zoynev, a Cholol, a Grush, right? Being that we don't know who real Kohanim are, so says Rav Kiva Eger, how in the world is a Kohen going to go to the Avodah? A Kohen, Zark can't do that. He's Chayv Misa if he does the Avodah, certain Avodahs. So there's no way to make it work. That was Rav Kiva Eger's Iker Taina. Last paragraph in Rav Kiva Eger's Tshuva. V'gam yesh lodin bebig dei kohuna. Kasheb kipshutei nechoinim divrei ha-mishal ha-melech. The Avnet the Kohen had it was like the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol. And it was made up of four materials, u'betoicham tcheles. And what's tcheles? V'hainu tzavua b'dam chilazon. K'moy shechazav ha-mishlom elach. It means tcheles from the chilazon. V'after v'dibri ha-rambam mashma d'rak b'tcheles d'tzitzis ukein. And even though from the Rambam it's not mashma that we like the mishlom melach himself was medayik in the Rambam. Because in Perek Beis halacha beis halachas tzitzis he brings it. But in Perek Ches halacha yud gimel hukas klei ha-mikdash he does it. V'chein kasev b'merkeves ha-mishnah. And the merkeves ha-mishnah also made the diak in the mishlom elach. V'komakim harashi b'chumish. Parshis truma kasev b'mefurish. Shum idam ha-chilazon. Why? Because today we don't have chilazon. We don't have chilazon. So we don't have chilazon. It's not negeya. Now today, maybe we do have chilazon. But in Rav Kiva Eger's time, for sure there was no chilazon. This is before the Murek's trunculus, and this is before the Rezina Rebbe's tchelus. So there was no tchelus then, because there was no chilazon. So says Rav Kiva Eger, I'm not sure what you want to do. See, you want to be machriya? Like the Rambam, like the Merkeves HaMishnah, Mishnah Melech, speaking the Rambam, not like a Rashi Yechumish. We can't be machriya between the Rishonim. And then he says, by the way, another issue is Argaman, is another one of the meaning. What's Argaman? You know, the Rambam says, so we used to teach it in Yeshiva, it's purple wool, right? It's purple wool. But the Rambam says it's actually red. And the Rambam has a whole other shita. The bottom line is, the Kinega concludes his tshuva with the following words. V'imkein eze avnet nasa l'kayanam l'avoid. Shtu kan gartel. Right? You know, have a gartel. You know, Yaakov Miller says, how come the fisher don't have a mitzvah tans? Well, kainot shkagartel. So that's what Kivega feared us. He said, why so we don't have a gartel? And if you don't have a gartel, can you do the avodah without a gartel? I mean, come on. So the Ebi Adenu Laslois Achi Yorah Hashem Bimorim Rucha Yoleinu Lahavi Agoyel Hamiti Lahiris Betzedek. Incidentally, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer responded to Rav Kivega's tshuva, and Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer told him that just like, listen to this, just like we're learning Perikat Chelis now, what's the first halacha? Tchelis ain't a ma'akivis ha-lovon, and love is not ma'akivis ha-tchelis. So you see, tchelis is not ma'akiv. If it wasn't ma'akiv in tzitzis, it's not ma'akiv in Big Day Kuna either. And he says, based on a tzitzis, but tzitzis is medama, tchelis of tzitzis, the medama of Big Day Kuna, ve'en kan, ve'koy me'la harich.